and Sun Up in the paper, you're getting, as of yesterday, there was only 10 minutes apart from being exact. I believe at the equinox you will find that the sunrise and the sunset will be exactly 12 hours apart, and which is probably why that's called equinox, because they'll be pretty equal. And I think it's around, what is it right now? It's 6:30, 6:35. I think it'll be, no, it's later than that for the sunset and sunrise. At least I'm looking at Fort Myers. I'm not sure what you have. You're a few minutes off over here. They're more correct over there. Well, our paper's got it right, right? Okay. Anyhow, it'll be very close to being exactly 12 hours. And I imagine that happens that way in the fall when you have the equinox in the fall, too, as days get shorter. Well, I may be wrong. I have to look at that a little bit more. I'm just talking off the top of my head on that. But let me go forward here, because we want to look into the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about this. Well, when was it? And as we go along, I think we'll see that it is important to understand and be able to give an answer for the hope that lies within. People come along with some pretty interesting arguments. A lot of times people who receive the on the receiving end of the argument are not familiar with how to answer it, or they're just not familiar with the subject. And we need to be able to give an answer. You know, it's interesting, too. We've had a number of people who used to keep the Passover with us at the beginning of the 14th who have become Messianic Jews. Couldn't get the word out. Messianic Jews, and keep it now on the 15th. And as such, they don't even... How do I know that? Because I've gotten calls from them asking if they could come keep Passover with us. And, you know, one lady told me, well, the Lord has led me to the Messianic Jewish church here in such and such city here in Florida and everything. I said, well, why then aren't you keeping it with the church you're now a member of? And she said, well, because they keep it on the 15th and they just have a Seder meal and they do not have the bread and the wine. Well, I thought, well, you know, that alone might tell you something. There's a lack of understanding there, certainly when it came to that. Well, anyhow, let's get into this, and let's go to Exodus, the 12th chapter, where the Passover first begins, Exodus 12, and a few things that need to be answered here. Exodus 12 and verse 6, now you shall keep it, the Passover, until the 14th of the Lamb, I should say. Starting back earlier, I don't want to read that, but it... On the 10th day, you take the lamb without blemish, keep it in your own house. That's a story in itself. It's 3.5 days before you would kill it at the beginning of the 14th, if you want to count back. What portion of the 10th day would you take it? You would take it when you could see that it doesn't have blemish, so you don't go pick it out in the dark of night. And coming in 3.5, coming forward, it's exactly 3.5 days. And, of course, that lamb pictures Christ, and it would be his ministry, too. Now, verse 6, you shall keep it, the lamb, until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And, of course, as we're going to see in a little bit, that twilight is talking, it's the period of time when the sun goes down until it actually becomes dark, roughly 30 minutes in that period of time. And that is when that you were to kill it. And, of course, then the question has always been, well, yes, but was it at the beginning of the 14th or was it at the end of the 14th? Well, that's one thing I think we'll be able to see here as we go along. If it's at the end of the 14th, then that means it's at the beginning of the 15th, right? So was it done on the 15th or was it done on the 14th? Let's go along here and take a look at some of the other things. The one thing there about verse 6, it says you're going to keep it until the 14th. It doesn't say keep it until the end of the 14th, but till the 14th begins, to the end, to keep it until the 14th comes, in other words. a few things to look at concerning that Passover, which has also is important as to, did it go over into the 15th, or was it all contained on the 14th? Notice here in Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 22, and you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. until morning. Morning does not mean night, but means dawn. Means dawn. You shall not go out of your house. All right, let's begin to see what are some of the circumstances of the first Passover. You keep this lamb until the 14th. Now, you're not going to, after you've eaten this lamb, after you've cooked it and everything, or roasted it, you're not going to go out of your houses until dawn. All right? That's an important point to keep in mind as verses 14th, verses 15th. Let's take a look what else in chapter 12 and verse 46. We see something about the lamb here. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh of the lamb outside the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. And remember, the prophecy was Christ would not have any of his bones broken, but as I hope to give in the Bible study next week, you will be absolutely aghast at what did happen to his flesh and going through the what the Romans did to him. So we see that what's left over of the lamb is to go out before daybreak, is it, or dawn. And neither are the people in the house to go out. Everybody stays in the house. Now look at verse 31 and 32. Verse 31, then he called, well, first of all, verse 29, at midnight is when the death angel came through. Now let's ask the question. The death angel comes through at midnight, and he did what? He passed over. He passed over the Israelites' homes, right? Because they had the blood on the doorpost from the lamb. When did he pass over? On the 14th or 15th? Well, if he passed over on the 15th, it would seem logical that that would be the Passover. But he said, no, you do it on the 14th. And at midnight on the 14th, the death angel passes over the homes of the Israelites, but passes through the Egyptians, taking the firstborn out. Well, then look at verse 31. Then he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise and go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also take your flocks, your herds, as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also, as he says. But what's missing here in this portion, when after Pharaoh lost his firstborn and saw everybody else's firstborn dying, he calls for Moses and Aaron, but doesn't say they came. Remember, they were not to leave their house until morning. But it doesn't say they bothered to come. In fact, the indication is indeed that they may have got the summons, but they did not obey it or come as they were asked to do. The indication of that, if you turn your page back to chapter 10, Moses was one who had a pretty good temper at times and got a little heated. Exodus 10, verse 28 and 29, then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day that you see my face, you shall die, Moses. Moses said, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again. And look at chapter 11 here and verse 8. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, and all the people who follow you. And after that I will go out. And then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. He had no intention of ever coming back and speaking to Pharaoh again. So we see on the night of the Passover, at midnight, at the middle of the night, the death angel comes through. The Israelites are not to go out until dawn. Even the scraps of the lamb left over are not to be put out until dawn has come. Moses, even, and Aaron were summoned, but it doesn't say anything about them leaving and going out at night to see Pharaoh. In fact, the indication from earlier conversations was that they would not do that. Well, let's go ahead a step further. Let's look at chapter 12 again, verse 26 and 27. And it shall be that when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? That you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households, so the people bowed their heads and they worshiped. So when did this happen? Well, if they were to kill the lambs and to eat that lamb at the 14th, if you said it was at the end of the 14th, in other words, killed it in twilight between the 14th and the start of the 15th, look, when the sun goes down, that's the beginning of a new day. It's the end of one and the start of another. When did the 14th day start? Sundown of the 13th. When the sun went down at the end of the 13th, that's the start of the 14th also. Yes, there's twilight in between. There's twilight in between every day, as you know. And so let's say if it was then on the end of the 14th, as most people and the Jewish people claim to this day, well, that means it was on the 15th they were eating it. It means on the 15th that the death angel passed over at midnight on the 15th. And but they weren't supposed to go out until dawn, right? And you can't throw the scraps out until dawn either, or what's left over. So it would be in the morning of the 15th. Well, let's keep reading on and see what the story reveals here. We see in Exodus, I just repeated in Exodus 34 what was done earlier as it talks about it. So coming back, let me just summarize a couple points here in chapter 12 as we go on to the rest of what is instructed on the Passover. All right, we know that the death angel came at midnight. It does not seem logical that it would be, if he tells them on the 14th to kill the lamb, you take this lamb out on the 10th, a lamb without blemish. You have to be able, it's a daytime portion of the 10th because you couldn't see at night. So in the daytime portion of the 10th, you take this lamb without blemish. You bring it into your house. And it's only a year old. And the kids are going to get attached to that lamb in 3.5 days. And everybody's going to look at this innocent lamb. And then dad is going to cut its throat and kill it. And when's he going to do it? It said in chapter 12, verse 6, and twilight of the 14th. You keep it until the 14th. Well, if you start a half a day on the 10th and you start going forward, a full day then to the 11th is number 1, to the 12th, number 2, to the 13th, number 3, and you begin in the first half of the 14th is 3.5, isn't it? So, yes. Then it's killed, they roast it, and they eat it. The death angel comes. Now, going forward, there's a couple things. I'll come back and make reference back to this as we go forward. Let's go to Leviticus 23. What is the commandment? When is it to be kept? As we go through and look at the scriptures, the one thing that is, there is not one scripture indicating that the Passover was kept on the 15th. Every scripture, without exception, says the 14th. So why are they keeping it on the 15th? As we'll see, it's actually two different feasts. You have the festival, or not festival, maybe is not the right word to use in relation to the Passover. You have the service of the Passover on the 14th, and it is separate from the 7 days of unleavened bread. But the way it is in the time of Christ and the way it is today, it is all one festival. And which is why it was interchangeably called either Passover or unleavened bread. Because of the way they kept it, they understood that it was both together. Here in Leviticus 23 and in verse 5, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. But on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord, and 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. First day is a convocation, the last day, as you know already. If you keep the 14th day, and then the Passover is on the 14th, but the first day of unleavened bread is on the 15th day, and for 7 days you keep unleavened bread. Do you have the leaven products put out of your home by the 14th or by the 15th? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, it says, is 7 days. The Passover is one day, and it is the day before the days of unleavened bread begin. Let's go forward to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9. The one thing, as I go to these, I want you to notice at one point, and we'll come to it a little bit later also, prior to the Second Temple, prior to the time of the Second Temple, you find that the Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread are separate. But as you come to the time of Christ, during the intertestament period of time that led up to the coming of Christ, they have been joined as one. And they've remained that way until the present time. Here in Numbers chapter 9 and verse 3, on the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it as at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. The Passover on the 14th at twilight. Verse 5, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at twilight in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. That's what they continue to do, to keep the Passover. And look at verse 11, on the 14th day of the second month at twilight, they may keep it, they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Here, of course, this is such an important occasion that God had them do it. If you missed it the first time on the first month, you could do it the second time on the second month. There is nothing else like this one because, of course, what it pictures. And as Paul would later say, Christ is our Passover, not our Easter. And indeed he was. Quite a sacrifice indeed. Let's go to Numbers 28. Numbers 28. We'll see this once again in Numbers chapter 28 and verse 16 and 17. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord, and on the 15th day of this month is the feast. You notice how they're separated there? The Passover is on the 14th, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins when? On the 15th. It says nothing about the Passover being on the 15th, does it? So once again, we see here in this portion before the Second Temple period of time that they are separate. They are what we would call separate feasts. Now look at Numbers 33. This is an important scripture to keep in mind in relation to what happened in Exodus 12. In Numbers 33 and in verse 3 and 4. Verse 3, they departed from Ramses in the first month. Note this, on the 15th day of the first month. On the day after the Passover, not the day of the Passover. On the day after the Passover, the children of Israel went out with boldness in the sight of all the Egyptians. Look at verse 4. For the Egyptians were burying all their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them, also on their gods the Lord had executed judgments. Now, if this was on the 15th, as some and as the Jewish people want to insist, does it seem logical that in the middle of the night that the Egyptians would go out in the dark to bury their dead? Wouldn't you think they would wait until daylight to bury the dead? And so here the Egyptians in verse 4 are out burying the dead. But verse 3 of chapter 33 is very telling in itself because it says they left on the 15th and they left on the day after the Passover. Some have argued, well, you know, they can do that. They left the next morning. The Passover was the previous evening. It says the day after. And as we'll see, when is a day? It's from sunset to sunset. A 24-hour day has not passed here if you want to try to argue a 15th. let's go to chapter Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16, and this I think will make it very clear, which the church has taught this for as long as I've been in the church, 47 years. And here in chapter 16 and in verse 1, Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Now, that's a key point right there. Now, if you put these together, we know that they could not leave the home or their homes until dawn of the next day. The death angel came at midnight. Numbers 33:3 says they left on the day after the Passover, but now Deuteronomy 16:1 says, but at night. When does a new day begin? Sunset to sunset, right? So the next day, the day after, not in the day portion of the next day, like you and I think, and we think of time in our, we think of a new day beginning with dawn, don't we? That's not when in the Bible when a day began. It began at sunset, evening. So the day after, and then Deuteronomy 16:1 says, evening, evening. They went out in the dark at night on the day after, not the day of the Passover, but the day after the Passover. When does the Bible say? When does the Bible even command to keep Passover? Always on the 14th. It's important that we understand these scriptures. I was up in North Carolina a few years ago, and this became a hot topic up there. We had certain people wanting to argue over it. We had an elder up there. He studied the subject quite clearly, and I thought he did an excellent job of going through, and he knew every one of these scriptures on the 14th, and he didn't have to have notes. And he could turn right to it and answer them and as they would come up to him. And this particular elder, they always liked to ask him, or a few people, I'll put it that way, not everybody, but there was a certain few people that always wanted to, well, when so-and-so comes to speak here, afterwards, we're going to ask him all of our questions. And he was ready for it, too, and he knows his Bible quite well. Anyhow, I bring that up because it's good for all of us to be familiar with many of these scriptures, and not that you walk around that they're in your memory bank like this particular man had, but he was ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within. I'll put it that way. But we ought to have at least write them down somewhere so we can know and we can look at them and chain reference them possibly in your Bible as well. Now, it doesn't just end with the five books of Moses. If we go forward, let's go to Joshua coming into the promised land in Joshua chapter 5. And in verse 10, so the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. Now, every scripture tells us it's at twilight on the 14th. There is nothing. I don't know how people, it's simply by human reasoning, come up with the 15th or that it was at the end of the 14th going into the 15th. Well, if it was, then you're keeping it on the 15th. And that I'll show you here a little bit because the Jewish people really didn't start doing that until the time of coming back from the captivity in Babylon. Let's notice in 2 Chronicles 30, we'll go up to the period of the kings, and here we have Hezekiah. The temple has been shut up now for quite a number of years, and Hezekiah, a righteous king, discovered by reading in the law what they should be doing. It was too late to keep the first Passover in that particular spring when he discovered these things. In verse 2, for the king and his leaders and all the congregation in Jerusalem had agreed to keep the Passover in the second month. Well, they would have got that from reading Numbers chapter 9 and verse 11, and so that's why they did. So here's the second scripture showing that the Passover can be kept in the second month if you're not able to do it in the first month because of, in this case, the circumstances, they weren't ready for it. They just had discovered it. So here we see Hezekiah doing it. Then, unfortunately, his son Manasseh turned and went the other way, opposite. If you go a few pages forward to chapter 35, then God calls a young king named Josiah. I think he was age 8 when he became king, and he obviously had assistance until he became more mature. There was a prophetess there. I believe her name was Huldah. Was it Huldah the prophetess? Or I'd have to look that up again. I think it was her. Or was she under Hezekiah? She was under one of the two. Anyhow, this young king discovered about the Passover. Chapter 35 of 2 Chronicles, verse 1. Now Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. So he kept it as well. And the, again, here he's discovering something that's new to him because all of the previous kings, except for Hezekiah, who was several generations back, did not keep these things. In fact, at times the temple itself was boarded up. Now let's go to Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6. Who wrote 1st and 2nd Chronicles? Well, if you read the last verse of 2nd Chronicles 36 and the first verse of Ezra chapter 1, becomes pretty obvious who's the one that's putting the capstone or the end on the Old Testament. And it is Ezra. And 1st and 2nd Chronicles originally was one book, and it was the last book, and still is, in the Jewish Bible of the Old Testament. But notice in chapter 6 of Ezra, again, I want you to see how that at this period of time, they are not combined, as Passover and Days of Unleavened Bread today are combined on the 15th, or the start of Unleavened Bread. They keep the Seder meal when we keep the night to be observed. And we'll have an explanation on that. I don't want to give it today, but we'll, in the next week or two, we'll cover again and remind you of the night to be observed. But here in Ezra 6:19, and the descendants of the captivity kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. They had come back from Babylon, and they kept it on the 14th day of the first month. Now, look at verse 22. And they kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria toward them. Actually, it was Darius, but he controlled the former territory of Assyria, toward them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. All right, now think about what we just read here. Verse 19, they kept the Passover on the 14th, but verse 22, they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. What 7 days would that have been? 15th through the 21st. Notice that Passover is separated, and it's done on the 14th. This is when the time of Ezra, after they have come back from the Babylonian captivity. Let's see. I'll just refer you to one other one. In the future, when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, and he sets up the temple at Jerusalem. Well, let's turn to it. It's Ezekiel 45. Guess when the Passover is going to be kept? In Ezekiel chapter 45, in the future, after Christ returns. Ezekiel chapter 45 and in verse 21. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover. A feast of 7 days, unleavened bread, shall be eaten. And as I explained even last year on that, it sounds like here in the English translation, because the translators are following the Jewish thinking on this. That is not what it says in the Hebrew. You shall observe the Passover. It is not a feast of 7 days. No, a feast of 7 days of unleavened bread is what follows it. And that's the way it should be, by the way, if you take a look there at the Hebrew. I think I had that last year in the Tanakh. I'll have to double check and be sure. But the Passover will be kept on the 14th. That's what it says. When Christ returns and sets up the temple in Jerusalem. Now, a day, I said, begins at sunset. A couple scriptures that tell you that. I'll just refer you to them to save some time and move forward. Leviticus 23 and verse 32 tells you how to keep the Day of Atonement from sunset to sunset, evening to evening. And the word for evening there is Ereb, E-R-E-B, and it does mean sunset. Another place where you see it till sunset is in Joshua chapter 8 and in verse 29. Joshua 8 and verse 29. Let's go forward now to the period of the Second Temple. This period was approximately from 515 B.C. when the Second Temple was completed upon the arrival of Haggai and Zechariah coming back. They got on the Jews who had left everything only partially done and hadn't finished it. Well, by 515, it was completed. And the second temple was completed. It stood there until 70 AD when the Romans destroyed it. That's almost 600 years. This period saw the desecration by Antiochus Epiphanes in the second century, 168 BC, the abomination of desolation. The Jewish religion that we see in the New Testament came into being during that period of time. The various sects of the Jews arose, the Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, Samaritans, Herodians, on and on. In fact, as one author said, there were 24 different sects of the Jews at the time of Christ. The principal ones were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. None of those existed before the Second Temple. They came into existence during the Intertestament period of time, also the Second Temple period of time, the same thing. Also, the synagogue came into being during the period of the Intertestament period of time. They didn't go to synagogue from the time of Moses until the coming of Christ. Synagogue was something that came about in the second temple period of time. The Sanhedrin was more developed during the second temple period of time. You did have the 70 elders that were appointed by Moses, you find back in the books of the law. It is the intertestament period of time. I already mentioned that. After the destruction of the temple, the second temple in 70 AD by Titus, the only sect that survived was that of the Pharisees. That we have any record of as far as continuing on was the Pharisees. Much of what you have in Judaism or Orthodox Judaism today is a lot of things that followed that of the Pharisees in the past, of that particular sect. The Sadducees controlled the temple in the first century, but the Pharisees controlled the synagogues, and they were the ones that survived. The temple was destroyed, so that took care of the Sadducees right there. They had nothing more to do. So today, Passover and unleavened bread are celebrated as one feast by the Jews. But was it always that way? Well, I think we've already seen the indications that it wasn't, but let me give you some information from some other outside of the Bible, people who have written about it, a couple Jewish sources here. Chaim Shaus, who writes in his book, The Jewish Festivals, A Guide to Their History and Observance, said, "We must thus bear in mind that Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were originally two distinct festivals. Observed at the same time, both were spring festivals, but the Feast of Unleavened Bread was observed by the entire community gathered in a holy place, while Passover was celebrated in the home as a family festival." It's quite an interesting admission there. The Encyclopedia Judaica says this, that the Feast of Passover consists of two parts, the Passover ceremony and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Originally, both parts existed separately, but at the beginning of the exile, they were combined. Interesting. Beginning of the exile, when they went into captivity in 586 B.C. The Jewish historian Josephus records the combining of the two festivals into one festival of 8 days in his book Antiquities of the Jews on page 74. Hence it is that in memory of that time of scarcity, we keep the 8 days, a festival called the Festival of Unleavened Bread. Well, you only have 7 days of unleavened bread. Eight, of course, means that was including Passover. Now, coming to the New Testament, because this is some things that I think are quite interesting. We know Jesus kept it the night before. Did Jesus eat? Did they have lamb? Did they sacrifice a lamb in preparing for the Passover the day before the Jews kept Passover? The Jewish philosopher Philo, who lived approximately from 20 BC to 50 AD, records something different that may help us understand whether Christ and his disciples sacrificed a lamb at the beginning of the 14th when he kept the Passover. It has been assumed that only the priests could kill the lambs and that they killed them only on the afternoon of the 14th at the temple between 3 and 5 p.m. Let me just digress a minute. That time, we used to teach in the church, I remember back in, I think it was in the later 80s, began to think, well, Christ died on the cross at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Well, that's true, he did. And because of that, that was when the lambs were beginning to be killed by the priests, and that showed that indeed the beginning of the 15th was when it was to be kept. But again, when does the day begin? To justify doing that, the Jewish people, there are two different schools on that. One said that sundown begins at noontime because the sun is starting to go in the other direction. Then the popular one at the time of Christ's crucifixion, they were doing it from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, again, going down. But the Bible says it's at sunset. When the sun sets, you have the twilight. So when the sun sets, you have approximately 30 minutes of twilight before you have total darkness. And that is when it was to be done, and not at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Philo writes, going on with him, about the Passover in the following manner, quote, "And therefore they sacrificed at that time themselves, out of their exceeding joy, without waiting for priests. And what was then done, the law enjoined to have repeated every year as a memorial of gratitude due for their deliverance." End of quote. Philo is a primary source who validates that individuals sacrificed their own animals for Passover during the Second Temple time. In Scripture, there is no prohibition to an individual holding a domestic Passover in the area of Jerusalem. And if people assume there is, where do you go in Scripture to point it out? In Deuteronomy 16 and in verse 6, quote, "But at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide, there you shall sacrifice the Passover." End of quote. Deuteronomy 16:6. This places no requirement on who should do the sacrificing. Did Christ and his disciples sacrifice their own animal for the Passover on the night before he died? Well, Philo seems to provide precedent for that being acceptable at that time. And Deuteronomy 16:6 also leaves the door open for that. All right, let's take a look at a couple things concerning that Passover. Let's go to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22. Does it specifically say, "And we killed the lamb"? No, it does not. But it says some other things that we should consider. Luke chapter 22, first of all, you see verse 14 and 15 that it is a Passover. And I'll show you in a little bit that it was 24 hours before the Jews would keep their Passover. But I want you to notice, looking here at verse 7 through 13. Chapter 22, verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread." Now remember, this is a time when they kept it together, the Jewish people did, "when the Passover must be killed." Now we're going to notice here that in several of these accounts it says killed. Now what would they kill? Herbs? Or livestock? Lambs? "And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat.' So they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare?' And he said to them, 'Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. And you shall say to the master of the house, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" What are they going to eat? "And then he will show you a large furnished upper room. There make ready.' So they went and found it as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover." What do you prepare? Notice the word in verse 7. They have to kill it. It's a time, well, you got to kill the lamb. Now, let's go over here to Mark 14. Mark 14, verse 12 through 14. Mark 14 and verse 12. "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover. Well, what are they going to eat? It seems logical to me, and especially after I read here that, yes, you can, both in Deuteronomy 16:6 and in Philo, at that period of time, that the individuals could keep it and it didn't have to be killed by the priest. And so he sent out two of his disciples, said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?'" Well, again, we see kill and eat. And again, you can look at Matthew. And just before the foot washing in John chapter 13 and verse 2, as supper was what? Finishing? What? Supper? What were they eating? I believe they had killed a lamb. That's mine. Can I point to a scripture that says, "We killed the lamb"? No, it doesn't say that. But it says that it's the time of the Passover when the lambs are to be killed and prepare that we may eat. So I would say that it's quite logical that they took care of that themselves. How do you prepare the Passover in that period of time? What do we do here? We're going to come early, right? A number of you come early. You pour the wine into the little cups. You put the sheets of bread and everything. You set it up on the table. You prepare it, don't you? Prepare the Passover. So when it's time to begin, it's ready. Now, if he told him to go prepare the Passover, go on ahead and he'll show you the room, everything. There's quite a bit of preparation that would have to go into that to keep it as they did at that time. And then after supper, or as supper was ending, John 13:2, then he gets up and begins to wash their feet, as you will. We go through that every year at the service. Now, notice over here in John chapter 18, a couple of scriptures just to show that there is a difference. John 18, here's where the two scriptures showing that the Jews were keeping it 24 hours later. John 18:28. "Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." They hadn't eaten it yet, had they? And then chapter 19, verse 14, repeats basically the same thing, showing that their Passover had not come yet. And it would be that following evening or that night that it would come. Well, indications, we certainly, another question, by the way, has come up. Why didn't Jesus' disciples, you know, if it was wrong to be keeping the Passover on the 15th, there's been quite a number of things. One individual tried to say that the Passover that Jesus kept on the 14th was a trial run for the church. But the church would be keeping it on the 15th at the beginning of unleavened bread. But that was because he wouldn't be here. He'd be dead. He had to have a trial run. And that's the word that was used too, by the way. And no, it wasn't. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was the Passover. The Passover lamb, of course, as the Bible said. So with that in mind, people would ask the question, well, then why didn't Jesus' disciples say to him when he said, "Go in and prepare the Passover"? Well, it's not today, Lord. It's tomorrow. He said, no, it's today. Well, the reason why is very simple. That was the fourth Passover in his ministry of 3.5 years. Now, if he kept it at the beginning of the 14th on the last one, reason stands that he kept it on the 14th and the previous three. So they weren't surprised. They already had seen he keeps the Passover at the beginning of the 14th. And so that's why they wouldn't be asking the question, because it wasn't anything new to them. What would become new would be the new symbols that he would introduce after this particular Passover supper was finished. There's one other thing that is interesting to take note of. In the second century, and going all the way up to the time of Constantine in 325, there was a controversy which had the Latin name to it, Quartodeciman, meaning 14th. The controversy, in fact, John's disciples in the second century, Polycarp and later Polycrates, would go before the Bishop of Rome. It's contained in writings of Eusebius, who was reputed to be the father of church history. His Ecclesiastical History is what it's called. Quotes that he gives both from Polycarp and later Polycrates, how they refused. They had, and Polycrates is probably the one that was even more to the point, I for 65 years have kept the Passover, as I learned from John on the 14th. I've read this to you before in the past. It's very interesting. You had to get a copy of it just to have it. And mark the page where you can go and see both how Polycarp kept the Passover. He died. He was martyred in the city of Smyrna. He was the bishop of Smyrna. He was trained by John. Some people have tried to say, well, John, when he makes reference in his gospel to the feasts of the Jews, see there? That's all they were to him. He didn't keep them. Oh, well, let's see what his disciples had to say. They did keep the holy days, and they kept the Passover on the 14th and would not budge for the pagan rite of Easter. I know people don't understand, and I want to be understanding of that fact, too. That people do just fail. I mean, even great scholars do not stop to question, why would you name the resurrection of the Lord and Savior you believe in after a pagan goddess? And have fertility rites as though they're like toys of eggs with all this zigzag paint on them and bunnies, which, of course, they were part of the fertility rites of the pagans. And, quote, Christianize it. Call these things all Christian. Well, like Paul said, my people, referring to the Jewish people, are blind. People are blind today. Never stopped even, never crosses their mind. Did Jesus Christ come and give his life as a sacrifice for the sins of all of mankind so that now we can bring all these pagan gods and things into our worship of him? And we just call him Christian. It just doesn't seem to compute. People don't stop to think about it in that way. But one day they will, and one day they will understand and see. Well, I hope this helps us to see very clearly. Well, let me finish the thing about the quarter decimon. The dispute was over keeping Passover versus Easter, and Passover was on the 14th. If it had been on the 15th, it would have been called the quinto decimon. There is no such thing as the quinto decimon controversy. It is, and that was a big controversy, by the way, which was settled by Constantine finally in 325. You worship on Sunday, you keep Easter. And nothing that appears to be Jewish. And that was the final decree. So many people had to flee to the outskirts of the empire to be able to have the freedom or find freedom to worship as they believed. So again, everything points always to the 14th. And hopefully we can be able to give an answer if that should come up in any kind of conversation. So after considering both scripture and history, the preponderance of the evidence clearly supports the true Passover being at the beginning of the 14th of Nisan, or Abib, as it was in the book of Exodus. Brethren, let's follow the example of the true Lamb of God and have a very meaningful, true Passover this year.
Just a couple of reminders, brethren. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to sign up for your meal on the last day of unleavened bread. You don't want to go hungry. It was very good last time. I'm sure it's going to be very good this time. And also, we have maps, I believe, also, or not maps, but directions on how to get to the hall if you need those as well. Well, brethren, it's time for services to end. I hope everyone has a wonderful remainder of the Sabbath. Let's take our hymnals and stand, and we'll turn to hymn 110. For the final hymn. how good and how pleasant. And following this final hymn, I'll ask Mr. Errol Pahalan to come forward and lead us in the closing prayer.
How good and how pleasant for brethren to dwell together in unity, so David did tell, like beautiful music, a breathtaking view, like most precious ointment, like fresh morning dew that descended on the mountains of Zion long before, that commanded a blessing of life forevermore. How good and how pleasant for brethren to be, dwelling safely together in sweet harmony. Now Jesus was praying,
Father, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, that we obey you, that you've taught us to obey you, and that you give your Holy Spirit to those who obey you. Father, we thank you that because we obey you, you have given us your Holy Spirit, which enables us to understand and accept your truths. Father, we are so thankful that you have opened the scriptures to us, that we worship you in truth and in spirit. We thank you for the knowledge and the reminders you give us today of the proper day to observe the Passover. Now, Father, help us to continue to prepare and examine ourselves for the season that's coming up. Help us, Father, to always obey you and live by your word. Father, we look to you for everything, and now we ask you to be with us as the week comes up, that we will continue to live your way and obey your laws. Help us now, as we endeavor to always serve you and obey the commandments that you have opened to us today. Father, we look to Christ and look forward to his return. Help us now to obey all these things, and we pray these things through his name. Amen.